Let me just pray. Father, y'all, we come to you to glorify you as we present ourselves to you to get just another facet of understanding. We just ask you to, as you've always done, to lead and guide us in all truth. We praise you in the wonderful name of Yehoshua, Mashiach, he's our Savior, and we look forward to his return, and we bless you for him, for your kingdom that's soon to come. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. There are some things I'll be discussing on tonight. Really still at this current point seeking which direction that y'all want to lead as far as this is concerned. And these are my favorite kind of lessons, you know, when so to speak is kind of coming straight off the press, you know, and it's when the Spirit of Yah, you know, from my perspective, you know, not necessarily saying that's the case, but it's when I feel his presence at the highest level when I do these kind of lessons like this. It's like, you know, and there are some things that Alan and I discussed last night, so I saw it as soon as I said that. It's like, you know, I've been hooked up to the feed, so to speak, like you had mentioned, and this is one of those incidents, and so I feel the presence of Yah real close and mighty right now. And so y'all just come with me as we just kind of flow into this lesson on tonight. I want to answer a specific question that Mama Coase had asked from an email that I sent her concerning some things about there are some things that's happening in Huntington, and there are farmers who are losing land down there because they're getting ready to start building this really big lake down there, and it's going to push, you know, property value around it, you know, in some of those areas through the roof, and just a lot of things going on as far as that is concerned. Well, I had a dream, and I'll tell you all about the dream. I had a dream some years ago before this all started to manifest, and then there's another lady that I grew up with. She had the same dream. It wasn't as detailed as mine, but she did have the same dream. Her son had the same dream. Son, I think, was about 6, 7 years old at the time, and he got up telling his mom about the dream, and, you know, and she was tripping because from the thing he was describing, it was the same thing that, you know, she had seen in the dream. And then, you know, the dream caught our attention because I had told them about the dream that I had to the son in that area too. And there are a lot of things going on with that area. And even when you watch the video that's attached to that news link that was, you know, showing these farmers losing thousands and thousands of acres of land, I think this lake is going to be pretty close to, I think, 17,000 acres of land and stuff like that this lake is going to take up. So it's a lot of land. I think it's 17,000 or so, somewhere. We're pretty close. And so there are some things that, you know, I want to discuss, you know, as far as that is concerned. There are also some things that that I said concerning Honey Grove itself. All these things are happening. And now people are starting to get afraid because they know that I said these things. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, Alan, as y'all deal with you, you know, you know, just kind of say things as he deal with you and stuff from, you know, how we were just flowing in and out of one another on last night. And so And so people are starting to be afraid because I said these things years ago. And I love when Yah is doing something, and I love it when He have me to speak things that'll make people look at me and say, okay, we got him now, because either this comes to pass or we dealing with a false prophet. I love to be in those situations, you know. And what I mean by that, because it forces me to make sure I don't jump out there foolish. And then at the same time, when I do speak these things, then, you know, I speak them boldly, I speak them with confidence, and I look at the expression on people's face, they be like, yeah, right. Then when this stuff starts coming to pass, they be like, oh, boy. Boy, he said this, and it's happening exactly the way that he said it. Well, back to the lake. I had a dream that I was standing in a barn. And as I'm standing in this barn, there are different races of people all inside this barn with me. And they all had on, overalls. You know, back in the day we called them duckins, you know. They had on overalls, and so they were standing. I was standing, they were all standing to one side of this barn, and I was standing by myself on the other side. And I'm talking to them, and all of them are looking at me waiting on instructions. And so I immediately tell them, I said, okay, we need to get on top of the roof of the barn. I said, we need to get on top of the roof. And, they were in complete, submission, we need to get on top of the roof. And so as I started to climb up, they started to climb up behind me. All of a sudden, a hole appeared in the top of the barn. I climbed up on top of the barn. And then all the people started coming through the hole. And when it was said and done, we were all standing on top of the barn. And I started looking around the area. And I told them, I said, this is not high enough. This is not high enough. I said, we need to get higher. And now I'm saying these things, and I don't know if it's dream vision. I don't know what it is. You know, so it's kind of like what Paul said. I was taken to the third heaven. You know, Paul was like, I don't really know if I was, awake or he's like, I don't know. You know, so it's kind of like playing with me. And so I just called it a dream, but it's not necessarily saying that it was a dream. It's just that's what I call it. And so I'm standing there. I said, we need to get higher. Well, when I said that, I looked to my right, and there was this big, huge tree, and I told all of them, I said, we need to climb up in this tree. Tree was higher than anything that I could see around, so we need to climb up in this tree. And so some kind of way we ended up back on the ground. It's like we went from on top of the barn to the ground, and I don't know how we got down there, but as we did, I started to climb up the tree. And I'm going up first. I get so far up, the rest of them start climbing. It was men and women. They start climbing, all races. And so they start climbing, and as we're climbing up this tree, I start to work my way up to the top portion of this huge tree. And as soon as I got right up to the top, I could see everything for miles. I mean, miles and miles away in all directions I could see. Then all of a sudden, I see this wave, and this wave is coming from Honey Grove, but also from Bonham, which is like the central area of Fannin County, is where all your judicial system and all that is. And so this wave is coming from that area, and as it's coming, I can see this huge wave. I see trees just falling over. The wave was hitting it. The trees was just like, toothpicks. I mean, they just falling over. Houses, falling over. And I'm just watching this wave, and it's coming toward us in this tree. And so as it continued to come, all of a sudden I was like, man, wow, man, look at this wave. And all of a sudden the wave covered the whole region. And when I looked around, all I could see was water. It was like that whole region had turned into the ocean. And that tree was the only thing sticking up out of the water. The tree was the only thing sitting up out of the water. And all the people who followed me, because not everybody followed me. There were still people, you know, in the region. All those people got covered with water. But the people who had followed me up in that tree, they were the only ones who were basically, in a nutshell, saved. And so, saved from the flood. And like I said, a tree was the only thing sticking up out of the water. And then I came out of the dream, whatever you want to call it. Well, I understood the dream. And so I started telling people, I said, there's a flood coming to this region. I said, and what the flood is going to do is going to wash away everything that is not a solid foundation. Now, when you start dealing with sound foundation from the perspective by which we build upon, we know that foundation has to be the word. So people are following me, but they're following what I say, the words. Okay, come on, we need to do this. We need to do this. And so they're following the things that I say. Now, on the other hand, the rest of them that wasn't hearing the things that I was saying was the one who was taken away by this flood. And so I wrote about it and put it on my Facebook page. And when I did, people were asking me, because they've gotten accustomed to things that I write now. I found out here recently that the stuff that I write, even post on Facebook, send the emails and stuff like that, that there are people in 25 countries at this point that's reading the stuff that I write. And these people migrate to my page, so much so that, you know, I posted on Facebook one time and put a link on there, and it was only 25 views on it when I first put it on Facebook attached to my page, and you know, less than 4 hours later, it had over 240,000 views. So that kind of people is migrating to my page, and people sharing, and so all these people are sharing my information. I even find out some people are copying. If they're not friends with me, what they'll do is they'll go on my page and copy it and then paste it to their page, you know, because if they're a friend of mine, they can just click share and it'll share what I say. But if they're not, there's no way they can access it, so they'll copy it. They'll copy it and then paste it, you know, like they wrote it, but then they'll say, you know, this is what Love Boy said, you know, kind of deal. And so, you know, they were asking me, it was like, okay, you know, I share with them about the video. I put the video up. Actually, I knew the two men. I went to school with their kids, and so they were basically saying, we've been owning this land since the 1800s and stuff like that, and these folks just coming in, taking the land, you know, taking the land and stuff like that. And, you know, they're like, basically, we're losing out, and there's nothing pretty much we can do about it. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on as far as that, but at the same time, we understand the scripture that Yah raises up. Matter of fact, I'll just start there. Was it Jeremiah? I'm trying to remember which chapter. I think it's 17. Yeah, we'll just start at Jeremiah 17, and then we'll read. Can you look at that email and send what scripture that I sent you in that email, particular email, the last one that I sent you about the comment that was made from a pastor? I'm trying to remember which scripture I put up. 5 and 17. I may get got it mixed up. It's saying 17 and 5.
Nope. Jeremiah
27
and 5.
Okay, I know it was something in a 5. Okay, Jeremiah 27 and 5. We'll start there, Jeremiah 27. Now, obviously, this is, when you look at Jeremiah 27, this is when Yah is raising up Nebuchadnezzar to deal with our nation because we were in disobedience as a nation. And so the comment that was made from this particular passage, do you have that? Can you read what he said? You don't have to call his name. I just read what he said, and then I'll say what I commented on, and then we'll read the scripture.
So he said, we often pray that God would open doors that no man can shut. Be careful that you're not the man that closes the door that God opens due to lack of wisdom.
Okay, now here what's being said by religion. Read it one more time now.
We often pray that God would open doors that no man can shut. Be careful that you're not the man that closes the door that God opens due to lack of wisdom.
Now, you have the scripture there, because I want to read Jeremiah. Well, let me say this, and then I'll get you, because I sent you the second email apart, so have that up in case. I mean, carry it up, because we are going to go there. Now, here's what you have to understand how religion communicates. If you listen to what he says, he said, he talked about Yah opening a door that no man can shut. Now, that alone should make anyone that has wisdom to understand that if Yah opened a door that no man shut, then the man who he's talking about can't even shut it. Show you how religion messes the minds of people up. Read it one more time, and then we'll deal with it.
We often pray that God would open doors that no man can shut. Be careful that you're not the man that closes the door that God opens due to a lack of wisdom.
Now read Revelation now.
Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it. Or you want to read the part you haven't quoted?
Read the whole thing, then we'll come back and break it down.
Okay. I'll start from the beginning.
Okay.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man, parentheses, not even one, none, nothing, nobody, shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth.
Right, so the no man is not anyone, not even one. So when you look at what the scripture said, and then read what he said again.
We often pray that God would open doors that no man can shut. Be careful that you're not the man that closes the door that God opens due to lack of wisdom.
Now religion take the scripture. What was read in Revelation said that Yah opened the door and no man shut it. And then turn around and contradict it by saying that, okay, you make sure you're not the man who shut the door. Well, if Yah opened the door, who is strong enough to shut that door? So what I said on I responded because Yah is like, okay, you're responsible for speaking truth. Now, once you speak the truth, if they don't accept it, then their blood is required in their own hand. But you got to at least tell the truth. And so I said, in actuality, when Yah opened the door, I said, even a fool can't shut it. So he was saying from a perspective of a lack of wisdom can cause a man to shut a door that Yah has opened, that no man shut it. So he said a lack of wisdom can cause that man to shut the door himself. And I'm saying, boy, you don't get Yah. Because if you understood Yah, you can be stuck on stupid and still can't shut the door. So is it? So when Yah has his hand on something, we got to understand that it's fail-proof. You can't even mess it up. I can't even mess it up when Yah got his hand on something. Yah said, when I open the door, can't no man, not even one, nothing, no circumstance, nobody, can't nothing shut the door I open, so it ain't about me when Yah open the door. Now, I'm going to prove it now. Jeremiah 27, verse 5 said, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. So everything I am, it's been given to me. I had prayed for it. I can't earn it. There's nothing I can do that'll make Yah say, well, I just want to give him it. Bottom line, Yah said, I do whatever I want to do. But we've been so twisted to think that we actually in control of our destiny. So everything that happened, we want to talk about how our faith brought it to pass. I've had some stuff come to pass, and I won't believe in Yah for nothing. Like, well, I don't need you. I don't need your faith. He tells us in his word, he said, well, you're not faithful, yet I'll abide faithful. I can't deny myself. Yah said, I open up a door and make it come to pass, and I don't need none of you believing in it. And that's what's vitally important for us to understand. We think that we got to be some kind of agent that agrees with Yah in order for him to do something. Yah drive us to agree. That's why he told our nation, he said, okay, you don't want to follow me, I'll put you in a situation and drive you as a people and continue to let pestilence and desolations and stuff come to your land and to your people. He said, I'll drive you to me. So it is vitally important for us to understand that Yah is in control of these things. So I said all that to say this. The dream that I had is something that Yah is doing. He didn't need me to believe it. He didn't need nobody else to believe it. He said, boy, you just start decreeing what I say. I don't need you to believe it. Because this is what I'm getting ready to do. So when I start telling people about this flood that was coming, they didn't believe it. Now when they see this lake, they're starting to say, okay, there's some stuff starting to make sense about this flood because everything you said in association with this flood is coming to pass. And here's what I basically said in a nutshell when I interpreted the dream to them. I said, FYI, I had a dream. I had a dream in 2009. I just put a date, it was give or take around that time. I had a dream in 2009 after purchasing the old high school that all of Fannin County was flooded with water to the point that it looked like the sea. I put the water as a symbol of progress that is going to change the face of the county as we know it. And the local resident will be taken away by that flood. When that lake comes in, it has nothing to do with Fannin County whatsoever. See, the Dallas, from what I'm hearing, God is the one who's really behind that lake being built, or I'll say the region of North Texas, because the population is growing so much around the metroplex that they're having to extend down into other areas, even as far as water supply and all that. People don't know Dallas owns Lake Red Hubbard. That's water supply. Also, Cooper Lake, way Cooper. That was water supply. Cooper Tech, 20-some miles from Honey Grove. That was water supply. Dallas went down there and had that lake built, Cooper Lake built, but yet Dallas owned the water rights. Levon, you got Lake Louisville. A lot of these lakes, Dallas has something to do with these lakes. So they put one right down there in Honey Grove, and they ain't thinking about Fannin County whatsoever. And so what they do, they come in there and flex. And all them judges do is line up with it because they realize that it's way bigger than them in that little county they're in. They're dealing with the big boys now. And so that whole area is changing, and you have people from Dallas now who are going down in Fannin County, the county that Honey Grove is in, is going down in Fannin County, and you also have have the government that's buying up land all dying there because they know it's something to go down, and before it's all said and done, that property is going to be valuable around that lake area. So they're buying up the land. And we just happen to have a building that's sitting down there, so I was like, I'll sit back and just kind of watch this for a minute, see how this is going to turn out. Okay? And so things are happening and are happening at a rapid pace concerning the changes that's coming about in that region. Now, another thing I said was this. When I came down, I gave a prophecy. Spirit of Law, who's standing in the building. Spirit of Law came upon me. I said, I'm down here in this region to be a blessing or its judgment. I said, now here's what I mean by that. I said, if the people receive me like the way Yah desires for them to, he's going to bless this area. I said, if they don't receive me like Yah desire, then Yah is going to judge this area. I said, here's how he's going to do it, because Yah's specific. Y'all don't have to speak in a roundabout way and somebody say, well, you know, like you get these false prophets. The reason why I said they false, they may be actual prophets of Israel, but the reason why they false because they be saying, Lord, I'm going to buy you a new car. Lord, I'm going to bless you. Yeah, all of us have had one of those prophets given to us, probably one fast enough. Lord, I'm going to bless you with a new car. He money coming to your house. You're going to be so blessed. Spin around. Run down at the end of church. Come on back. Try to flip three times. Your money, your check going to be in the mail in the morning. Y'all experienced some of that all. But y'all is really specific. So I told him, I said, and this is how you're gonna know that y'all is judging this area, specifically Honey Grove. I said, the old people are going to die, and the young people are going to move out. It's been happening ever since I said it. Ever since I said it, now people are starting to get concerned. They're starting to say, man, I don't know what's going on in our little small town, man. I don't know what's going on. It's like everybody's just dying. Well, if you check it out, the younger people who are coming out of high school and stuff like that is getting up out of there. They're not hanging around now. Because when y'all speak a word through his prophet, it's going to come to pass. Exactly how he said it's going to come to pass. Now, if you check it since I've said it, I'm talking about all, not just the black folk or the so-called black folk, not just the Israelites, but I'm talking about all the races of people down in that town. It's been dropping like flies. It's been guys who, when I first came down, I asked one guy to be on the committee. As far as the project is concerned, first thing he said to me, don't know nothing about me. First thing he said, I don't want to be a part of no scam. Well, he was in a bad car wreck and killed him, I think, one of his sons, and put the other one in the hospital or something. It's things that people have been saying, whether it's here in Dallas or down in that region, that have said some things, and I found out that there's some kind of tragedy that has happened in those individuals' lives from the stuff that they've been saying. Now, people are constantly dying because that prophecy is coming to pass exactly the way Yah said he was going to do it, and that's how he proved to people that he actually sent a prophet for real. That's how he proved it. Now, Will, you have anything? Okay. Now, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to show you some things, how this thing is getting ready to start coming to pass. And Yah is going to make, I'm releasing this now. Y'all don't even know what I'm about to say. But Yah is going to make clear separation. He's drawing a line in the sand. And you're going to see who his true men of Yah are and what the false ones are. He's drawing a line in the sand, and we're going to start seeing the difference between the two. We're going to start seeing the difference between the two, because Yah is making things known, because time frame is close for our Savior, Yahushua Mashiach, to come. Time is getting closer, so because of that, he has to start getting things in order for when he comes, especially dealing with us as a people. And so there are some things that he's doing to divide that thin line to make it clear what belongs to him and what doesn't. Okay. Now, let me see. Do I want to start at Jeremiah 29? Yeah, Jeremiah 29. I might go to 28, but let me see first. We'll go in 28. We'll go in 28. Okay. Now, chapter 28. Now, Jeremiah 28 shows you the difference. And this is why Yah is establishing this thing. And like the Spirit of the Lord came upon Adam last night, and he started giving examples of what's about to happen and how Yah is making a dividing, he's drawing a line in the sand, and he's establishing things. And there are some things that he's been having me to say more and more to put myself out there for people to make a distinction. In other words, he's saying, okay, I'm going to have you set things, and I'm going to have you do things, and it's going to put the focal point on you. People are going to be like, yeah, we can sit back and watch it now. If it don't come to pass, he's not for real. And if it does, then we know he's for real. And then when it comes to pass, they be like, okay, now they start to get afraid, because they like, this is for real. And like I said, that's one of the reasons why the lady was asking me. She's like, okay, you put this on Facebook, what do you feel like this is meaning? Because she's acknowledging now, we trust what you say. We know that Yah is dealing with you. What is this saying to you? Tell us what this is saying. We see you, we know that you put this here for a reason, because you don't write nothing that doesn't have a purpose associated with it. We just don't understand the purpose. Tell us what this means. Okay, tell us what it means. Once I reveal what it meant and told about the dream, then they started responding from the perspective of what I said. In other words, they started saying, this flood is coming. That's what some of the people started saying. This flood is coming. It is going to be washing the local residents and stuff around. This is what this lady exactly is going to do to the community. It's going to change the face of the community. So it was like that dream is in direct harmony with what's going on down there. It's changing. People are coming, like I said, people are coming in from Dallas and everywhere, and it's changing. So Jeremiah 28, verse 1, and this is what I mean by God is dividing the line and saying, you're going to see two prophets, but at the same time, you're going to see one because of what he says is identified as false, and the other one because of what he says is identified as a true prophet. And we'll be able to look at scripture to see how to determine what the true prophets are in these last days. Now, Jeremiah 28, verse 1 says, and it came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of Jehovah, in the presence of the priests and all of all the people, saying, thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, the Yah of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, if you go read other scriptures, you'll see Yah is saying through Jeremiah, he's speaking to Jeremiah, saying that he's going to raise up Nebuchadnezzar. He calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. We read, it was Jeremiah 27 I read, right? Okay, go back to Jeremiah 27 briefly, and I'm showing you that, and that's why I said to the pastor, I'm like, okay, you can be a fool, and you can't close the door when Yah opens it. Nebuchadnezzar was an idol worshiping fool. Yah raised him up, and look what Yah called him. Now, again, Jeremiah 27, we'll start at verse 5 again, and then we'll look at verse 6. Jeremiah 27, verse 5 says, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. Now we find out why this is being said, verse 6. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Why is he calling a man who is an idol worshiper, worshiping Baal, I believe, his servant? Because one of the things that the church has got to understand is that Yah raised up wickedness the same way he does righteousness. That's the part that the church don't get. So when things happen, they'll start saying, okay, only the righteous going to stand. Yah will raise up the wicked to rebuke the wicked. Our nation was wicked at this time, so he said, I'm going to raise up something that is just like you to drive you back to me. So that's why I was telling the pastor, bro, you really don't get what's going on. You think you got the power enough to shut a door that y'all open? You out your mind. But when I said it and made a response and showed the scripture, you have, because of Timothy, Timothy said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You had people focusing on what he was saying and was saying, amen, pastor. And at the same time, you had people now start, because when he first posted it, it was only about two people that commented on it and showed that it lied. But when I posted it, it drew attention to the post, and people started making comments. By that time, it was around six or so comments on it when last time I looked at it. And then I just checked the stop notification, because I didn't want any more notifications on it, because every time somebody say something, it notified me that somebody said something. So I just put, stop notification on that, because I didn't want to get any more. I was done with it. But it shows the mindset of people when they don't understand the mind of Yah. They are saying that you can close the door that Yah opened. So they're like, amen, Bishop. Amen, Pastor. I'm like, boy, these folks don't have a clue. The arrogance of the church to think that it can shut a door that Yah opened. Now, I'm going to show you in chapter 28 of Jeremiah that this prophet was trying to close the door that Yah is saying in Jeremiah 27, verse 6, that Nebuchadnezzar is his servant. Verse 6 again. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. As you read verse 7, it says, and all nations shall serve him, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. He was saying, Nebuchadnezzar is wicked, but I'm raising him up to deal with Israel, Judah. When he deal with Israel and I get through with him, then I'm going to bring nations in to destroy him. And that's when the Medes and the Persians came in and destroyed him. Yah raises up whatever he will. And when he raises it up, I don't care what kind of righteousness we think we operate in, we cannot close that door. If we did, we would have already run our righteous butts back to our land and ran the wicked out of the land who pretended that they are. Yah opened that door, and ain't nothing we can do about it until he closed the door. Or as Luke says, Luke 21, I believe 24, says, to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. to that time be fulfilled. That is the only time that we're going to be able to go back and have peace in our land is when y'all look at them and say, I'm through with them. Shut the door. We can run back that land all we want to and say we back in our homeland. We ain't going to be doing them and get beat upside the head and get beat up right back up out of there because we going on our own accord instead of going when y'all said I opened the door. I'm waiting on y'all's door. When he opens, I don't care who trying to keep it closed. We going back in the land. That's what's wrong with people. They try to open doors that y'all hadn't opened. And they try to close doors. They try to open doors that y'all has closed. I said they try to open doors that y'all has closed, and they try to close doors that y'all has opened. Impossible. And as you can see in chapter 28 now, Jeremiah 28, we go back to verse 2. We see this prophet. This is why he's classified as a false prophet, because he's trying to close a door that Yah has opened in chapter 27. Verse 2, thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, the Yah of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. This prophet is saying, Hananiah is saying that Yah has broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Y'all, we don't have nothing to worry about Israel. We just fine. Verse 3, within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of Jehovah's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. You have to understand that the way we went into captivity concerning the Babylonian captivity is the same way we went into captivity as far as the slave trade is concerned. Not all of us left out of the region of Africa all at the same time. The same way not all of the people of Israel came out of Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar took over. They were being migrated over a period of time. We're talking about millions of people. So you have this prophet now standing up saying, we don't have nothing to worry about. 2 years, we coming back home. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of Jehovah's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. So it lets us know that he took the vessels but hadn't actually destroyed the temple yet. Verse 4, and I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, because he had already taken the kings and the carpenters and the royal families and all that into Babylon. He had took them already into Babylon. So he was saying, he's going to bring king back. Our king is coming back. Then it says, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, said Jehovah, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, what does chapter 27 say? As we continue to read on, it says, then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, so he is a prophet, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of Jehovah, verse 6. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. He said, amen. The Jehovah do so. Jehovah perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of Jehovah's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless. Okay, amen, if y'all going to do that, but I know different. Nevertheless, hearest thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. Verse 8, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that Jehovah has truly sent him. He was saying, if this boy telling the truth, then it's going to come to pass. You don't take his word for it until you see peace. Then you know he's telling the truth. Okay? Then verse 10 says, Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck, because Yah tells him to put a yoke about his neck to show that Israel is going to be in captivity or in bondage to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's what this yoke is about. So imagine a yoke that goes around some oxen when he's getting ready to plow. Okay? He breaks the yoke. Now, this is wooden. Verse 11 said, "And Hananiah spake in the presence of the people, saying, Thus saith Jehovah, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way." He's like, I ain't been off with the boy. But look, verse 12 said, "Then the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah the prophet." After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus said Jehovah, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make of them yokes of iron." Now you understand why the Israelite, when he came into captivity, even in the Americas, he was yoked with iron. And so in this day we're talking about right here in Jeremiah 28, when the nation of Israel went into captivity, they went into captivity as far as the irons were concerned, the same way, that is the MO of the Israelite. Every time we went into slavery, he put yokes of iron around our neck. That's how you identify that they're true people. Now, you don't have a concrete history of the so-called Jews being carried all over the place in yoke of iron, but you can find plenty of photos of us being taken away in yoke of iron. Okay? He says, okay, because he broke that, I'm going to put something around the neck that ain't going to be able to break. Break that iron now. Verse 14, "For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the Yah of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also." Same thing he said in 27. Jeremiah 27. Verse 15, Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Jehovah has not sent thee, but thou makest this people a trust in a lie." How many people are trusting in a lie? All these lies these prophets have said, and these people are trusting in these lies, and Yah hasn't sent these prophets, I'm telling you. Now, he says now, in verse 16, "Therefore thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against Jehovah." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. This is the MO. You're going to have a dividing line, and you're going to get these preachers that's compromising and saying the things that Yah hadn't said. You watch what I tell you. They're going to start dropping like flies. They're going to start dying out, because Yah is establishing his divine order as far as the kingdom is concerned, and he's setting up his shepherds to rule his people. And the only way he can truly set up the shepherds to rule over his people is he got to get this false stuff out of the way. You watch what I tell you. You're going to start hearing preachers, well-known and unknown, they're going to be dropping like flies. Death is going to be coming up on these false prophets. Woe be unto those who sing, "But thus said the Lord," in these days that we're living in. That's why we taught a few weeks ago to make sure that we're hearing from Yah. Yah is going to lead us. All we got to do is make sure that we're hearing from him. And I tell you, you know, he'll give us things to speak, and we'll speak up boldly, okay? Now we go into chapter 29, because I want to show you how long our nation was in captivity based upon the true word, because the false prophet said 2 years. But no, he tells us how long we were going to be. I'm going to read verse 1 and then... I'll read from verse 1 to verse 5 or 6, 7, somewhere up in there, and then we'll stop. Just trying to see if it's in. I think it is. Verse one. He says, "Now Jeremiah 29:1 said, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah, and Jerusalem, and the carpenters, and the smiths, were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus say Jehovah of hosts, the Yah of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have called to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses." You have to understand that our nation had land, had houses. So what I mean by having land, the land is not ours. See, you have to understand, there's a reason why we have to pay property taxes. Because Yah is saying, I'll never let you own land in a foreign land. You can build your house, but you'll never own the land. That's why we constantly have to pay taxes. Don't pay the taxes, pay the house off, don't pay the taxes, watch you lose the house and the land. Because Yah said, I'm not giving you no inheritance here. He said, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters. Take wives of your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. That's why we as a nation have increased over here in the Americas and every place else we've been in captivity. We're still in captivity. We have houses, and that's what's wrong with Israelites now. It ain't because they have nice houses, nice cars, and all these things that we're free. No, we're still in captivity. Still in captivity. Don't pay your taxes. They come get your nice car. We're still in captivity. That's why people be like, man, they're just ripping us off. Man, they got us paying these mortgages for 20 or 30 years. Then we pay them off, and we got to continue to pay taxes, get behind on the taxes. They still come get the house because our heritage is in our land. We'll never own land here. We'll rule. But yeah, I said, I got your life in a specific place. Okay. Then verse 7 says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. We need to pray for the peace here so we can have peace. Scripture said, and pray unto Jehovah for it, for in the peace, therefore shall ye have peace. Now, here's what we got to understand. That time frame is coming to an end. We have to line up with Yah, and we have to be wise enough to know that when destruction is coming to all the places that is held Israel captivity, that we have to be able to discern the times, and we line up with what Yah is doing instead of saying we still need peace. Just think that our nation during the captivity of Babylon was told to pray for the peace, but when those Medes and Persians came in, I'm like, do I got it right? When the Medes and Persians came in, so when they came in, Israel wasn't still praying for the peace there. Israel was getting hightailed up out of there. So we got to be able to discern the time to know when we need to stop praying. And the time has come when we need to stop praying for the peace. And so I'm preparing ourselves and lining up with Yahweh, what he's getting ready to do. That 400 years probably to Abraham is just about rolling around the hill. You don't think Yah is that specific? Well, read the scripture, and we'll see how specific Yah is as far as his word is concerned. I want to see if it's in these verses here. It may be in 30. Let me just kind of see here. And I'm going to show you exactly exactly the time frame you get this false prophet says, you get this false prophet says 2 years, but the true prophet says 70 years. And we can go read the scripture, and after 70 years, that's when we started getting up out of here as a nation, out of Babylon. That's when you go to other passages in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 50 and stuff like this. Yes, it's in verse 10, Jeremiah 29. I think I'm just going to skip there instead of, well, let me go back up. Verse 6 says, it shall not be diminished. Verse 7, he talks about the peace. Verse 8, he says, but thus says Jehovah of hosts, the Yah of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have called to be dreams. That's why I tell people a lot of times, they say, I have a dream, and they start trying to expound on it. I tell my girl sometimes, when they start telling me that, that's a crazy dream, go sit down somewhere. Y'all ain't showing you nothing. You just had a bad dream. Daddy, what you think that means? Not a thing, baby. Not a thing. And that's why Yah said we even have to be led on what's going on as far as our dreams. That's why you get people a lot of times, they'll be all fearful because they had a dream, they died. Man, I had a dream, I was going down Buckner, and I had a wreck. Now you're trying to avoid Buckner. Better cast them dreams down. Y'all was saying, he was saying to Jeremiah, don't pay no attention to your dreams. If y'all ain't dealing with you, hear this, y'all. Our brain is like a computer. It never turns off. So it has to go in a dream state. So we dream every night, whether we remember them or not. Everybody dream every night. Yeah, I go in the dimensions of dreams. I be dreams in a dream. Sometimes I have to come up out of them, you know. Things happen if I don't come up out of there. I'm gonna get into detail. But I go in the dimensions of dreams. I be dreaming in a dream. And so I go deep off in those things. And so you have to understand we all dream. You can't wake up looking at everything that come to pass in your dream. Y'all have to deal with the dream. And we have to be wise enough and discerning enough to know. You know, I had a dream. I went to Hawaii. Now we spending all our time trying to get to Hawaii. And that's a dream. You thought you went to Hawaii. You was watching Hawaii 5-0 before you laid down. And so it's vitally important. And that's what he was saying. Look at him. Verse 8. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the Yah of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Don't let these prophets, all these things, these preachers are saying, and all these different doctrines they're coming up with. Time out for us being deceived. He said, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye called to be dreams, because our nation was going into captivity. Can you imagine people laying down and they're having dreams that they're coming back home? Because that's the desire in their heart. Well, scripture talk about prophesying according to the hours that's in the heart. Something that you really want to do bad enough, you'll lay down and dream about it. How many of you have ever watched a movie and then you lay down and you dream that movie all night long? We all do it or have done it. Okay, so we can't always go by the dreams that we have. That's why when I have dreams, I wake up and allow Yah to start dealing with me. If he's not, if it's too out there, too crazy, I'll be like, Chum, throw that away. I had a dream, I was flying. Yah was just flying all over the place. Flying all over Dallas, flying everywhere. I was just flying. I ain't looking to fly just kind of yet. Hold that talk, though, but I'm just saying for the sake of conversation. Verse 9 says, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith Jehovah. For thus saith Jehovah, that after 70 years be accomplished. What did the false prophet say? 2. We're coming back in 2 years, y'all. I can imagine they had a great church service after he said that. Prophet Jeremiah leaves, so they shouted, because he's like, we're coming back in 2 years. 70 years. Now you know why he said, get married, build you some houses. Come, you go down there, don't be sitting there with your suitcase packed. You better unpack that thing because you got 70 years you're going to be here. You better have you some kids. Don't be sitting there patting your feet ready for Jesus, so to speak, to come around the corner. You got to get Rudy. You're going to be here a while. He says, 70 years, verse 10. He says, for thus says Jehovah, look how specific Yah is, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and will perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. You can go read the scripture. Exactly after 70 years, our nation returns. So exactly after 400 years, our nation is going to return, based upon Genesis chapter 15, the prophecy that he gave to our father Abraham. After 400 years, we're going home. I don't know when the 400 years started. You get some that said 16, 19 here or there. You know, I don't quite know when it all started, but I know whatever y'all's time clock of 400 years is, when that 400 years is up, I don't care what we doing, what we are, we are coming out with a mighty outstretched hand. Y'all said, I'm going to bring you out of here. We ain't going to have to fight nobody about it either. He's bringing us out. And so Yah is very specific with his word. He deals with us from the same perspective, and he's drawing that line in the sand, and it's vitally important for all of us to understand the days that we're living in. We're living in the last days, so to speak, and Yah is ready. I like verse 10. He's ready to perform. He's going to visit. He's going to perform what he has been saying in his word. He's going to perform it. And so that's why he's sitting on the stage having me say these things that I do, putting myself out there to draw attention to him, not to see Yah directing me now, because I'm trying to give him the glory, and he's saying, no, tell it like the way I give it to you. Yah specifically drawing these people to me because he's establishing who his shepherd is. The only way people are going to see Yah is they have to see a true prophet stand for Yah. And so that's why he's doing the things that he's doing, and he's sitting it up at a stage to draw the attention. So the attention is coming to the ministry now. And we have to get ready for it. So if the attention is coming to the ministry, then each one of you that are involved in one fast or another, the attention is coming to you. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Alan, do you have anything that you wanted to say or anything from, okay, you just let me roll. okay. Because in a nutshell, he gave an analogy. He gave an analogy of what was going on with me in comparison to people. And what he said in a nutshell, explain that, and then we'll go ahead and close. To give you guys an understanding of what's happening with me, he's going to give you an analogy to give you an understanding of what's happening with me to show what Yah is doing in these last days that we're living in. Then we'll close.
Yesterday when we were at the gym, Yah was dealing with me. And this, in a nutshell, it kind of boils down to this. And so even Pastor's been dealing with it on Sunday, but Yah gave me an analogy. And so what I was explaining to him is this. We'll just say for the sake of the analogy that Yah is water. We'll just say Yah is water. And from that perspective, we as people are pipes. That's the best analogy I can use. And so Yah can choose to be present, let's say, in the ocean form, in the lake form, pond, whatever, however he chooses to present himself to whoever. Now, for the purposes of this analogy, Yah has chosen Pastor to be a pipe that is connected directly to the ocean. And so from that perspective, because he is directly connected to the ocean, there's a size difference. So, for example, a pipeline that's directly connected to a lake, let's say, or an ocean, it's not going to be the same as the pipe that's in your house. It just don't work that way because the pipe that's in your house can't handle the pressure that's associated with being, for example, right next to the ocean. So from that perspective, people look from the outside and they may have thoughts of grandeur, I guess is the best way to put it, because a lot of times when people see when people see Yah moving, they want to be a part of that. But to the exclusion of what Yah is doing. So I said sometimes, an example that I gave him, somebody was trying to be on the other side of the pipe. They were trying to use him instead of letting Yah flow through him to them and other people. They were trying to get him to be the middleman, is the best way I could put it. So instead of Yah flowing through pastor to this other individual and to other people, they want, in a nutshell, to use pastor and what Yah is doing with him for their own benefit. So from the perspective of all these things and understanding, when I say we're all pipes, it goes down to what pastor been dealing with from the perspective of on Sunday when he said, you know, to some are called to be, over 1,000, some over 100, some over 10, some over 50. So from that perspective, it depends on what kind of pipe you are, where Yah uses you, right? So if you are right connected to the ocean, you got to be able to handle all the pressure that's associated with that. And so we all are different sizes. And so what Yah spoke specifically to me in regards to that is two things, and Pastor's been dealing with that too. One, when we operate in pride when we... we are a pipe trying to funnel more water than we're capable of. And at the same time, we operate in pride when we are a pipe, let's say, that is capable of handling, let's say, use the analogy, 1,000 gallons. We're capable of using 1,000 gallons, but because we refuse to line up, we only think we can handle 50 gallons. Well, when we operate that way, it's pride too. And so Yah is dealing with both sides. And from that perspective, it's just like the analogy where the scripture talks about the master and the servants with the different talents. The one that had the one talent, the one that had the two talents, the one that had five talents. The one that had the one talent didn't do anything with it, and the master took that talent away. The one with the two and the one with the five, they doubled it and they gained more. So from that context, we have the ability as pipes to grow, but it's only when we are being used or allowing Yah to use us the way he sees fit. And so from that perspective, we all got to judge where we are and what Yah is doing with us and line up with that so that we don't operate in pride and have issues is the best way I can put it.
So in a nutshell, what he's saying is this. Because of what I've been born to do, it's to whom much is given, much is required. And he showed the analogy about me being connected to the ocean. Remember, Yah is the water. He can be in a lake, but he used Yah from a perspective on how he deals with me as me being connected to the ocean. Because I'm connected to the ocean, all of that water flows through that pipe, so I gotta be able to expand and allow all that Yah is releasing to flow through. Well, you get some people who want to jump and plug into the ocean, and their pipe is not big enough. So when they too close to the ocean start flowing through them, then they tearing up most stuff that they fixing because they don't have the capacity to deal with what's coming through. And so from that point of view, this is what he's doing in these days. He's saying, I'm finna establish the pipes that's directly connected to the ocean. And everything else is gonna have to line up with it. So I'm setting the stage and I'm allowing things to be said to start to divide these pipes that make it clear when I'm establishing. And that's why he did the same thing with Moses. He was like, okay, yeah, Miriam, yeah, you're a prophetess. Yeah, I deal with you. But I deal with Moses face to face. And so you have these people who are trying to say, well, okay, well, I'm just as anointed, and Yah deal with me face to face too. Well, Yah's saying, yeah, but I'm going to point out who my servant really is. I'm going to make a distinction who my servant is. It's going to make a dividing line, and everything that don't want to line up with it, then I'm going to rebuke it and get it out of the way or take it all the way out. like he's getting ready to do with these preachers who are not lining up with what y'all want to do in these last days, or what he is doing in these last days. And so the stage is being set. So he's making me come forward more and more and decree what I am and stand on it and put in order things that need to be put in order and tear down things that need to be tore up. And that's why when these preachers are saying these things, I go on there, I deal with it, and then I leave it alone. Because all the people who are following them and trying to say, well, that's all right, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. No, I'm dealing with that leader. But the pastor didn't say a word because he knew exactly what I was talking about, and he knew I was telling the truth. Well, you let them little chickens that boost you up, that turn your favor, say the amen to you, but I just dealt with you as a leader. And if you don't fix it, then y'all going to deal with you. He going to deal with you, and once he deal with you, either you're going to straighten up, or he's going to cut you off as a pipe, and the rest of them now, a little bit of pipe that was listening to you, going to come on and connect to another pipe that's dealing with truth. That's what he's doing. He's cutting off and disconnecting all the pipes who want to let false doctrines flow through them, like the same way he did Ananias. This is what he's doing. So you watch it. I said it. You watch it. You're going to start hearing more and more. Some of the most well-known preachers you know about. If they don't line up, y'all draw the dividing line. If they don't line up with y'all, you watch what I tell you. They're going to be checking up out here like flies dropping on a winter day. Watch what I tell you. And if I be a prophet and come to pass, if it don't, then let me drop like a fly. I ain't scared when I tell the truth. If it's not a truth, then I drop like a fly. Now let's see. Father, I give you praise for all that you do. We thank you for your word on today, and we just bless you for all that you have led and guided us into. Continue to fix our minds on bless us to fix our minds and keep it on you. We bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. I'll tell you what he just said to me. He said, as I was praying, I can pray and hear what I'm saying and hear what y'all say at the same time. It just happens that way. He said, because I led you to pray a thing, he said, I'm going to bring it to pass exactly the way that you said it. Watch them drop like flies. Exactly the way I said it. It's been recorded. Watch it take place. All right.